بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. My brothers and sisters, we are talking about the approach to learning, you know, how to learn. There is a famous teaching story of this man who is a great professor, and he's himself a scholar in various things, and he goes to a sheikh with the intention of learning. So he goes to him and he says, "I am so and so," and he introduces himself. He says, "I am professor this that, and I have come to you. So please take me into your baya and please teach me." So this sheikh, he welcomes him, and then he takes a bucket and he asks this man to come along with him, and takes him to a well in the courtyard of his khanqah, of his school. And from this well, he starts drawing water, and he fills the bucket. He keeps on pouring water into the bucket. And he pours more and more water, and of course the bucket is very quickly filled up, and then the sheikh continues to pour water in the bucket, and the bucket is now overflowing. This man, this professor, is standing there and watching this, and after a while he couldn't take it. He says, "Yeah, sheikh, this is full. I mean, this thing can't take any more. Why are you pouring more water into it?" The sheikh stopped pouring the water, and he picked up the bucket and he went back to the school. By which time this man, he was an intelligent man, so he understood what the sheikh was trying to get at, what the sheikh was trying to explain to him. And what he was trying to explain to him was that if your bucket is already full, and that it won't hold anything else, right? So there's no point in trying to put anything else into it because it's already full. Now the approach to learning, therefore, comes from humility, from humbleness. Today we do the opposite. We say, you know, I'm a professor, I'm a doctor, I'm an engineer, I'm a great businessman, and so on and so forth, and I'm here to learn about Islam, I'm here to learn Quran, I'm here to learn Hadith. So I will approach it from that perspective, that I have all of this knowledge, and therefore I am learning, so whatever I learn or I'm told must, within quotes, make sense to me, in terms of the knowledge which I have. Now, the first thing to understand here is that nobody is denying or denigrating or devaluing or discounting what knowledge you have. Alhamdulillah, good for you if you have this knowledge. But every science you learn, every branch of knowledge you learn, has its own usul. It has its own principles, it has its own standards, it has its own things which have to be learned as if you know nothing. That is this is where our ego comes into play, and our ego causes us problems, because we say, well, how is it I'm nothing? I'm a lot of things. I'm not just nothing. I'm not just something. I'm many things. So I will not leave that aside. Now, if you don't leave it aside, then you will not learn this knowledge. When you come to any branch of knowledge, for example, let me give you another example. Supposing you are the example I'm giving you may not happen that often in practice, but just you can imagine it. Let me give you. For example, you are a great doctor. Right? You are a surgeon, and you are hugely qualified, and you perform brain surgery, and you perform open heart surgery and whatnot. So you are this. Now, however, you do not know how to drive. So you go to a driving school. Now what do you do? When you go and sit in that car in a driving school, the driving school instructor is probably a metric fail. Right? He probably doesn't even know. He probably hasn't even passed metric. You are not just a PhD. You are a great surgeon and physician and God knows what. But when you go and sit in that seat of the car, how do you sit in that seat of the car? As what? You sit there as somebody who is completely ignorant. It doesn't mean you are ignorant of everything. It just means that you are ignorant of the thing that you have come to learn. So in that knowledge, in that broad area of knowledge, you are zero. So if you don't remember that, now in the example I gave you, this will not happen because you will remember that, and you will not consider it to be something which is infra dig for you to accept that I don't know how to drive. The very fact that you went and enrolled in a driving school means that you accepted the fact that you do not know how to drive, and that learning to drive is your need. So the two things we are talking about here. One is that learning, you are taking it as your need. It's not the need of the instructor to teach you because he has many students. It is your need to learn, because without that you will not have mobility. So therefore you are going there as somebody in need. And second thing is that you are going there accepting and acknowledging the fact that I don't know this thing, so I have to learn. And then you are going and acknowledging the fact that the person teaching me, I am not going to judge him according to the standard of whatever I know. I am going to judge him by the standard of his knowledge. So in this case, the man is a metric fail or a metric pass, and I'm a PhD in medicine. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. I am not going to judge him on that basis, because that is irrelevant here. I am going to judge him on the basis of the branch of knowledge that I went to learn, which is driving a car, in which he is my ustad, he is my sheikh, he is my guru, he is my teacher. He knows and I do not know. I am ignorant and that man is knowledgeable. So therefore, I have respect for the man. Now take this into the area of learning of Islam. How do we approach our ulama? How do we approach the scholars of deen, especially if Allah has blessed us with some other kind of knowledge, right? Now, what also doesn't help is that we live in a materialistic world, and therefore we respect only money. If I ask you to name five, within quotes, great people of the world, I can guarantee you that you will name for me five billionaires. You will say Warren Buffett, Steve Jobs, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Elon Musk, right? I mean, this is what you will do. And so five people. If I ask you, well, what about running away with somebody's wife? Is that part of greatness, or does it detract from greatness? I mean, you say, don't go into that. We're talking about great people. Here are billionaires. So, because this is our standard. Our standard is just pure profit. It's nothing else but just pure profit. And that's why we have a world which is as puerile and as disgusting as it is. But if we look at the issue of how we approach our scholars, because most of them are not billionaires. When we approach, we meaning people who have worldly knowledge and qualifications and so on, seriously ask yourself and accept this reality. You approach them looking at them as less than you. You approach them and looking at them as somebody who's not as, within quotes, worthy and worthwhile as you consider yourself to be. So that is the first problem. The second problem is nifaq, which is you will pretend as if you are respecting them, right? So this is a bigger problem. So on the one hand, you don't respect them, that is a problem. On the other hand, you pretend to respect them, that's a bigger problem, because that is a question of being a hypocrite, because you really don't respect the man, but you're pretending as if you are respecting the man. So really we have to check our hearts and say, what kind of a heart do I have? So very important for us to approach deen and those who teach in the context of an as humble seekers of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the example of Musa alayhi salam going to Khidr. Now there is a we mention Khidr and we say Khidr alayhi salam, and there are scholarly discussions about whether Khidr alayhi salam is to be considered a Nabi or not. Leave that aside. The point is, he was definitely not the Nabi of the time. Right? There's no doubt about that. Musa alayhi salam was the Nabi of the time. Khidr alayhi salam was not a Nabi of the time. Khidr alayhi salam was not Sahibul Kitab. He was not Sahibul Sharia. He didn't have a Sharia. He didn't have his book. Yet, when Musa alayhi salam said somewhere that, you know, there is, I don't think there is anyone who has more knowledge than I do, and which is from the perspective of the Nabi, this was also technically true, but Allah does not like that kind of a statement. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him, and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is there anyone who has more knowledge than I do? Allah said, yes. And then Allah did not send Khizr to Musa, Allah sent Musa to Khizr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam, you go and find him, find the man. And this, and Allah told him, he'll be in such and such a place, and so on and so forth. And Musa alayhi salam walked, and so Surah Al-Kahf has the detail of this whole journey of Musa alayhi salam and how he went. And then the relationship, Khidr alayhi salam is the one making the rules, not Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam cannot go to Khidr alayhi salam and say this and that. Khidr alayhi salam is making the rules. And we also saw what happens when, again, all of this, we are not criticizing the Anbiya alayhi salam, all of this is for us to understand, when the legitimate qualification of Musa alayhi salam as the Nabi of the time, as the Sahibu Sharia, as the Qadi, when these thoughts come into his mind, which is the reason why, even though he promised not to ask questions, he asked questions three times, despite having, reiterated that he will not ask questions. He didn't just forget, he asked questions because they raised, the actions of Khidr alayhi salam raised some jurisprudential questions in the mind and sight of Musa alayhi salam. So therefore he asked these questions, but Khidr alayhi salam laid the rule, and finally Khidr alayhi salam said goodbye. He said, "Hada firaqu bayni wa baynak." He said, "This is between you and me now. This is over." Right. So he told him to go away from his class, so to speak. Now think about that. Here is somebody who has more within quotes traditional knowledge, and he has more authority, and he is the Nabi of the time, and so on and so forth. Yet someone else, that is his teacher, has more authority. He has more, and Allah is not mentioning this as saying here is Khidr who made a mistake. No. This is what Khidr alayhi salam was supposed to do. And what Khidr alayhi salam did was right. That what his actions were right, and his treatment of Musa alayhi salam was also right. So this is the thing to understand as far as our of approach to deen is concerned. That it's not just a matter of going and saying, you know, teach me Quran, teach me this. No, it's a question of the attitude with which you go. It must be an attitude of humility. It must be an attitude of somebody who is in genuine need of learning and of knowledge. And it must be an attitude of sabr and patience, and of understanding very clearly that whatever else I may know, I may be the greatest scholar of whatever it is, but when I go to this sheikh, when I'm going to this scholar, to this maulvi or mullah or maulana or whatever you want to call, title you want to call, when I'm going to this teacher of Islam, I am ignorant. I am going there as a small little student, and I must ensure that I behave in that way. Not behave from the perspective of, oh, I am this and I am that. No, with complete humility and with being in a position of saying that I am somebody who is in need, and please help me because this is my need. I hope I have made myself clear. The approach to learning of the knowledge of deen, and as I mentioned to you, this is true for learning of anything. If the approach to learning is the first thing that is required before the learning can even begin. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.